As we continue in worship, we will enter a time of hearing the word. And so as we prepare our hearts for that, let us have a prayer of illumination. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to be in a place of worship this morning, that we can be part of a community of faith, that we might hear a word from you, Lord. And so, God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the scripture for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 5th chapter. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Up on the screen is the NIV, so for the most part it is the same, but you might see some words differently. If you brought your Bible, you may have a different translation as well. But let us read the word together. Here we go. So Mark 5:21-43. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. And then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell on her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." While she was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, and they told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith." Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw so much commotion and weeping and wailing. And he went inside and asked, "Why all the commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead, she's only asleep." The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave. And he took the little girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, "Talitha kayum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. And Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened. And then he told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So these are my kids. If you haven't figured that out yet. They like to make themselves at home within churches. This is their fourth or third church to be a part of. And so they are happy to be here and are still trying to figure things out for themselves. We thank you for the UMW welcome that had on when I arrived. I think on Thursday there was an assortment of cookies. And so we've been eating cookies, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Trying to eat all of those cookies, and we still have quite a bit left. And so also thank you for the welcome this morning that was hosted out here in the Welcome Center, and for all those who put that together as well. And I met so many of you and had the chance to talk with you, and you told me your name, and I probably won't remember, but maybe hopefully 5% of them. But I hope that over our time together, we can divide up into smaller groups, and I promise you I will do my best to learn each and every one of your names over my time together. And so look forward to the time to come. I know some of the great history of Northwest Hills, and I know that some of those great pastors of this particular church are still here in the church, and so look forward to working with them and working with you as we continue to look at our history that we've had and also the ways in which God will continue to work with this congregation and sharing God's love with our community around us. So this morning, to get a framework of the scripture I just read, we might look back at chapter 4 of the Gospel of Mark. And so in chapter 4 in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus and his disciples had taken a trip across to the other side of the lake, to the region of Gerasenes. And during that time together, Jesus quieted a storm. And so the disciples really saw that even the wind and the waves obeyed Jesus' command. And once they got across the lake to Gerasenes, there was this, in this particular time, in chapter 5, there was a man possessed by an evil spirit that came to meet Jesus. And Jesus invited the legion of demons to leave a man and to enter into a herd of pigs and to rush over a cliff, and the pigs drowned in the water below. And so, as we begin this morning's scripture in verse 21, Jesus again crossed back over the sea to a people that he was familiar with, and people who had heard the parables that Jesus had been speaking about of a lamp and of a seed and of a mustard seed, that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains, right? And I'm sure that as Jesus arrived back in front of these people who had heard these parables that Jesus had spoken, they've heard of the exorcism that Jesus had just done on the other side of the lake with the most demon-possessed man that we hear about in Scripture. And so as Jesus arrived back, people gathered around him. The scripture actually says that they crowded around him. They were ready to listen to the words that Jesus would speak. There's so much going on in this morning's scripture, and we have a story within a story. As we read today's scripture, you have Jesus and you have Jairus, and you have Jesus going on his way to Jairus' house, and then you have this other story of this woman who came and touched Jesus' cloak, and Jesus heals her. As I reflected upon this scripture, it's definitely a scripture of healing, the healing power of Jesus. But as I reflected upon it this week, the thing that stuck out to me most was the vulnerability and the courage of the characters in this story. The courage of Jairus to come and to plead with Jesus. The courage of Jesus to go with this man to his house to heal his daughter. And the courage of this woman who had been sick for 12 years to come and to touch Jesus' cloak. You know, really, neither of these two should be asking Jesus for help according to the norm of the time. But both of them had the courage to get close to Jesus, to come plead with Jesus, to come touch Jesus in order that they might be healed. So let's go through the characters again. Jairus was possibly a Sadducee and thus doesn't profess the possibility of eternal life. And so when his daughter dies, that's it. There's no more. There's no eternal life. He's probably checked off every ceremonial ritual possible in order to try to help his daughter. And so his presence at Jesus' feet serves as a testimony to the inadequacy of the old covenant alone to help his daughter. His confession of faith and coming to kneel before Jesus and to come plead with Jesus is to acknowledge that Jesus' authority surpasses his own authority to help his daughter. And so when this guy, Jairus, arrives before Jesus and asks Jesus and pleads with Jesus for help, Jesus doesn't turn to him and point fingers at him. And Jesus doesn't go and try to correct his theology, but he instead agrees to help him and follows him to his house. You see, because of the courage of Jairus to ignore the words of those who of what's been told to him before, and the courage to refuse to fear, and the courage to obey Jesus and to keep on believing, Jairus received the impossible. And you know that Jairus, the name Jairus, we were talking about the other day of what names mean. Did you know that the name Jairus is of Hebrew origin, and it means God enlightens? I would say that through Jesus' compassion towards Jairus, that he was enlightened as he experienced the hope and compassion and the love of Jesus. And so as Jesus was making his way to Jairus' home, we have this other story within a story of a woman who's been sick for many years, and she's tried everything to be healed. She's gone to many doctors. She's spent all her money. She's been considered an outsider and unclean. She was as far different than Jairus as you can get. Jairus was privileged and powerful and accepted and male, and this lady was unclean, was unaccepted, was living in poverty, and was female. When people saw her, people probably turned the other way. They probably avoided her because they didn't want her to brush against them. But in this story, she had the courage to fight through the crowd. She had the courage to get as close as possible to Jesus that she might touch his cloak or his robe. And Jesus turns. And instead of saying, like, lady, I'm too busy, I'm on my way somewhere else, you have to leave me alone right now, I can't focus on you, Jesus instead turns to her and calls her daughter and invites her to go in peace, because she's been made well. You see, Jesus' attention to the desperate needs of those who come to him in this story is a reminder that God is never too busy to hear our prayers and to respond to our pleas in amazing and unexpected ways. Finally, when Jesus gets to the house of Jairus' daughter and he takes her by the hand, he makes contact with her, this what was known as this dead, unclean person. Jesus overcomes that boundary of touching the dead. The healing touch of Jesus makes each of these two daughters well instead of making him unclean. And you might say that Jesus plunders the realm of the outsider. He plunders the realm of the unclean, and he plunders the realm of the dead to restore people to abundant life through wholeness and healing and peace. Jesus often does that. He transcends social and religious barriers in order to carry out ministry. And because of the women and because of Jairus' courage and vulnerability to get close to Jesus, their lives are restored. And I would say that that's probably miracle enough for us, but even more than that, we see people who see how clearly Jesus loves all people. You see, to ask something of Jesus and others, to be vulnerable with Jesus and with others, to be courageous with Jesus and with others, is to edge into a deeper relationship with God and others. When this relationship happens, as it did for this desperate, grieving father, and as it did for this dying daughter, and for a sick, ostracized woman, we come to know what it is to be made whole and human again as we enter into relationship with one another. The gospel is full of promises such as these. And they become our own promises as we live them out. And so as we begin our time together in this new season of ministry for all of us, I just want us to think about how we might practice the same type of vulnerability and courage that we experienced in Jesus, with Jesus and others in the scripture. As many of us are coming out of quarantine, maybe for the first time in over a year, or isolation, and getting back into public and relationship with others, I wonder what it would be like to open ourselves up to share our hurts and our wounds and our joys and our celebrations. We're shaped and we're made whole and human when we're in relationship with others. At the end of this scripture, we see that those who doubted Jesus and those who laughed at Jesus are left speechless, and they're overwhelmed and they're amazed at what Jesus was able to do in this scripture. And Mark awakens us to the healing grace of God in Jesus. In this scripture, we see that both of the women in the scripture were healed, right? But we know that sometimes that doesn't happen the way that we hoped. That even our most earnest pleas don't result in answers we desire. If that's happened to you, if you prayed and prayed and prayed and you didn't get the result that you prayed for, I'm sorry. We're sorry, right? And I think that's the biggest challenge for us as people of faith, is how to remain faithful and courageous and vulnerable in those difficult and disappointing moments when things don't end the way that we hope they would. But through this scripture and through other scriptures throughout the Bible, we see that Jesus is the King of life and death, health and sickness, clean and unclean. And his authority is exercised gently and in relationship with those who come to him in faith. And so as we begin our time together, I want you to know that my office door is always open, and that I love coffee or lunch. And I'd love to get to know you and to learn about your families and to learn about your history and to learn about your faith story, that we might have courage and vulnerability to get close to one another and to God as we continue to grow in our relationship with God and those in our community. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for an opportunity to begin this season. Lord, we give you thanks for the ways in which you have been at work within this congregation for many years through many great folks and through many saints of the church, and some have passed on and some are here today and some are not yet here. And so, Lord, we just pray that as we continue in ministry, that we would have courage to share ourselves with you and with one another, that we might be healed and that we might experience peace and that we might know indeed how we might follow you into the world. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.